Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Welcome to Revitalize and Replant. Thank you, Dan Hurst, for bringing us in here. I'm Mark Clifton. I'm here in Inglewood, Colorado today with my good friend and co-worker and brother, Mark Halleck.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, man, we had a good time today.
Love
we played
you,
a little one-on-one earlier today.
Hey, you bet.
I sort of embarrassed you on the basketball
you did.
Court.
I did. No, I don't think these people know the
I
skills
don't think
you've
they do.
Got.
No, I don't either. I learned them all in church camp.
I mean,
and so
you
I
got
was,
hops, man.
I was a great church basketball player. Okay. All right. We are talking today about something that is dear to my heart, dear to your heart.
Yes.
It's dear to all of our hearts. It's called the public reading of Scripture.
Yes.
Something that many Southern Baptist churches do exceedingly poorly.
Historically, I always love to get your historical take. I'm assuming that early in the movement, reading of the Word would have been absolutely a normative thing.
Yeah, we basically read the Old Testament and the New Testament every Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know where it quit happening, how it quit happening, but you can go to the, I would say, just anecdotally, but I'm pretty good at this because I travel a lot, right? I'm the majority of churches, Southern Baptist churches I go to, the only scripture that's read is prior to the sermon. That's it. And oftentimes there's more time spent in announcements or just sort of chit-chat between the songs or whatever than there is
like scripture not being read between songs.
And scripture
or
not being read
like
between
that.
No, just no scripture, public reading of scripture that I know of many times at all.
Yeah.
And just right before the sermon and then that's it. And I don't understand that. I mean, to me, that's just so foreign and I noticed it so many times. It's like we're in such a hurry. We got to give these announcements, and we got to get three or four songs in, and then we got to get the pastor up there. So we don't really have time to. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
But no, we do not historically read a lot of scripture in Southern Baptist worship settings on public right now.
Well, this is a great article that I think gets us thinking about why it's so important.
Right. And this is an article, again, from Christian Communicators Worldwide. This is Jim Eliff's organization. You can find him online. Actually, Jim has some bulletin inserts that you can print off for free and stick in your church bulletin, and this is one of them.
That's great.
So you actually put this in your church bulletin to help people understand why you need to read Scripture on Sunday morning.
Mm.
All right? It's really important. Number one, the reading of public scripture demonstrates, well, here's a good one, the priority of the Bible in our lives.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, we are Southern Baptist. We had a battle for the Bible.
That's right.
Right?
We love the book, man.
The whole conservative resurgence of the 70s and 80s was the inerrancy, infallibility of the Bible, the Chicago Statement on Inerrancy. Yeah. We are people of the book. The axe head floated, brother. I mean, that thing, the Bible is true, right? Those miracles happen.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm not making fun of that. It's true.
It's true.
Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a fish.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, we believe that.
That's right. That's right.
Well, how can we don't read it on Sunday morning?
Yeah.
What's it say if we really, if we're that passionate about it?
Yes.
How can we be that passionate about it that we would literally, you know, take over a denomination and redo our seminaries from top to bottom and redo our missions agencies, both home and foreign, and then on Sunday morning, we don't even bother to read it in public.
Which makes you wonder, well, do we really believe it then?
Yeah.
I mean, do you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the convicting part. It's like, if we really believe what we say we believe, there's nothing we should want more on Sunday mornings than to get the Word of God, the power of the Word, into our people.
Yeah, I don't want to just be an old curmudgeon here, but I think sometimes on Sunday morning worship, we're sort of concerned about making sure we don't get boring, we keep it moving, it has a pace to it, it's exciting, and we don't necessarily know we're reading, you know, a chapter from the Psalm. Or
where does that fit?
Where does that fit?
Gotcha.
Which is just nuts when you think about it. But I think that's part of it.
The mindset,
you know, I do. I think back when we had, you know, when we had, a lot of times what you would have in the 1960s and 70s, you'd have an organ prelude. So people would come in and sit down, and there'd be an organ playing, always.
Yeah.
Okay? And then, this is even in a relatively small church. And then usually the choir would march in, right? The choir would march in, and there would usually be an opening anthem, maybe the old 100, you know, praise God from whom all blessings fall, or the doxology or whatever, something like that. And then there would be you know, some announcements and usually some scripture that would be read, and then some other songs. It was a little more formal, and we weren't, and we didn't care if there was some downtime between songs.
It wasn't a big deal.
No, but now it's almost like, okay, you're going to be in the green. I've had people ask me this. You want to be in the green room? You want to be out front, right? And then, of course, everything's timed, right? We got all the, we've got the PowerPoint, or the, not the PowerPoint, but the presenter, worship presenter, software, whatever.
With the clock.
The clock, going, everything's lined up. This song goes to this song. We've got these lyrics on the screen, this, this. Where's the scripture fit in, you know? And if you just decide that Sunday morning you want to read a passage, well, where does it fit into all of this?
There's no margin for it.
There's no margin for it. And you got, I think sometimes, again, we just want to keep it moving. We want to keep the energy level up. We want to get, it's like, and I think sometimes even the, some churches that have two worship services, they're time constrained because they got the next worship service coming in. I shouldn't, I'm not saying we shouldn't read the scripture. I'm just saying, I think a lot of that has pressured us. But we don't read scripture publicly nearly enough in our churches. And some of us, you know who you are. You don't read any except before your sermon.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I mean, I just think of, you know, we go to Paul's words to Timothy, where he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. And Timothy, this word devotion, I mean, it's like, you are committed to this. This is not optional. You know what I mean?
Now, we've talked about the word devotion in that is like, it's one thing to start a diet. It's another thing to stay with the diet.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's not saying start reading scripture. Make it commitment to reading
scripture.
It's
committed, ongoing.
Public reading.
That's right.
And exhortation. In other words, preaching is the exhortation. But the public reading of scripture. And I think he means, I think in our case, sometimes we think, well, we're reading scripture before we preach. But if we're gathered for worship for an hour, hour and a half, we're singing four or five songs and preaching and some other things. A lot of times, if I'm going to preach a text, many times it's going to be two or three verses. It's not going to be a chapter. So, you know, if that means on Sunday mornings, public reading of scripture might be two or three verses. I don't think that's what Paul probably had in mind.
Well, let's, you know, and let's talk about just some practical ways. So if you're listening to this, you're going, well, how do I integrate more scripture? Let's just think of a few ideas. One is, in between songs, instead of, you know, I don't know what your transition time looks like, but intentionally use that time to read scripture. You can even do, you know, you could even do a some kind of responsive reading of scripture.
Please.
In your prayers, praying scripture publicly. I mean, in some ways, how are we being intentional? This is not rocket science. It just takes intentionality.
I know you and I aren't song leaders, but if we were, what's more important between two songs? For me to tell you that to get ready and stand up and smile and this is a great song and the lyrics mean this and hope you're having a great day. I'm so glad you're here. Or for me to read a text.
Just read the word.
That goes with the song we're about to sing.
Just read the word.
Just read the word. You know, here's what you do. And we'll ask Kyle to put these in the show notes. You can order Joe Kreider's book, Scripture Guided Worship.
And in his, Joe does this so well.
In his work, his book, Scripture Guided Worship, he will instruct you on how you can use scripture to engage your people in worship. They respond not to the worship leader saying, y'all sing for me, but they respond to the scripture that they've just heard. They're singing in response to God's word. So yes, you can read scripture. You should read scripture really between, between the songs rather than just spending time talking about other things. The other thing you can do is clearly you just can read a New Testament passage and an Old Testament passage every Sunday morning. And do a prayer to call our hearts to worship and a prayer for repentance. And read one each Sunday morning and have somebody read a different one. So you have different people reading it. So you got more people on the platform, more people participating in worship. People who maybe could never preach or teach are good readers. They can read God's word clearly. And every Sunday morning, if you walk in every Sunday morning and your people hear someone read from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then they hear scripture between the songs, they're going to get the idea, Mr. Halleck, that maybe scripture is important. Right?
Because what does it say? What are we really saying if we're a church that claims to believe in the inerrancy, authority, sufficiency of scripture, and yet it's never read?
Yeah. The first thing that our writer says in this article is, public reading of Scripture demonstrates that priority and authority.
And authority.
And so we're saying it really, it doesn't, if it's not there, it doesn't have it.
It's something else does.
Right. And yep. I'm fearful that some people say, well, an entire 12 verses of the Psalm or, 15 verses from one of the epistles is a little long. Oh my goodness. Please. First of all, how you read it matters.
That's right? True.
How you read it matters.
Yep.
Practice reading it.
Yep.
Read it well. Have someone who can read it well. Uh-huh. How you read it really matters, uh-huh. right? But man, it is powerful and it is God's word. And you just have to understand that not reading it makes a tremendous statement.
That's right.
That it's not that important to
That's
us.
Right.
For sure.
That's good. So that's number one. So number one is first, the public reading of Scripture demonstrates the priority and authority of the Bible. Number two, this is really important, I think. The public reading of Scripture protects against heresy and promotes unity in the truth.
Yeah, when Paul's talking to Timothy about Ephesus and he says they're arguing over genealogies and endless myths, their doctrine is a shipwreck that's going to ruin them, the answer is teaching of the Scripture.
Yes.
And reading of the Scripture. And the public reading of the Scripture makes it clear we're not gathered around a pastor's passion for a strategy for a church, or we're not gathered around the fact that we like the same kind of music, or we particularly like our pastor's preaching. We're gathered around God's word.
Yeah, that's
right. That's our ultimate source of truth and reality, and that's what binds us together is the word of God. It is ultimately and completely and totally important, and we know it's important because we do it every week.
Yeah.
I mean, again, a Blackaby, what would I be without a Blackaby quote in my podcast? But Henry would say, we want our people to be people who read the Bible. Mm-hmm. What about the way we read the Bible on Sunday morning makes anybody say, that's important and I want to go home and do it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, oftentimes we don't.
Yeah.
And so reading the Scripture publicly really guards against heresy. The Bible is our authority, not something else.
That's right.
Not some man's idea. We're not going to argue and fuss over secondary and tertiary issues. Yep. The Bible is our authority. We believe it. We love it. We read it. We treasure it. It's important to us. That's what we do.
Well, and it's like, I think about, our, Anglican brothers. I think about an Anglican church down the street. Dear brother, love what they're doing there. But, they're going to recite the creeds each week. Part of what he would say is, well, why do we recite the Apostles' Creed in our services? It's to remind our people of what we believe.
Yeah.
As Baptists, we read the Bible for the same reason.
Right. There's some amazing passages in the New Testament. Well, Paul writes and others about the glory of Christ,
Amen.
The nature of Christ, the divinity of Christ, the atonement of Christ.
It's doctrine, man.
Read those every week.
Every week.
Read the Bible. Read those every week. There's great psalm about the glory of God and the majesty of God and God as a creator. Read those every week.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, that leads to number three. So the third one here is that people who could not read, this is something we don't think a lot about, or did not have much access to God's word in the early church, they were blessed by the public reading of Scripture.
Okay, and Pastor, believe it or not, there are many people in your congregation who show up on Sunday morning who haven't read God's word all week.
That's the truth.
And didn't even bring their Bible with them.
Yeah.
All right? And so you think about it. If they don't hear God's word read on Sunday morning, they're not going to hear it all that week.
Yeah.
I mean, what an opportunity to have however many people you have, 20 or 25 or 150 or whatever you've got on Sunday morning gathered, to have those people hear the word of God read to them because they may not be reading it during the week.
That's right.
And some people still struggle with reading. There's some people still have a hard time with reading, and some people think the Bible is way above them. I can't read those Bible words. It's way above me. I don't even try.
Yep.
And so when they hear the Bible being read week in, week after week, it lowers some of that anxiety about that. It becomes more familiar to them. The language, the poetry of the psalm and all becomes more familiar to them. Not reading it doesn't make it any more familiar to them, doesn't make it any more comfortable to them.
That's right.
And again, if many of these people are probably, if they're reading it at all, they're not reading it much. So you're missing a tremendous opportunity to read Scripture to people who probably haven't listened to it much that week at all.
I think of, we have a sweet, godly woman in our church who sits in the front row every week who's blind. And I often think about her as she listens so carefully. I love preaching because she's so in tune with the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about her and the joy that it is for her to hear the word of God being spoken. And I also think of some of our other senior members. Some faces are coming to my mind, and I know their eyes are really bad.
Oh yeah.
And they just can't read. It's hard to read.
Yes.
The Bible now. And it's hard, you know, I mean, many times you go visit. I remember visiting an older woman. She was in her 90s, and she had this huge magnifying glass in her living room with the Bible underneath it. And I had no idea. And she said, "Oh, Pastor, this is my favorite seat." And I mean, it's like, she literally can't see without this thing. And yet every Sunday she comes, and I'm thinking, there's no way she can read these pew Bibles.
Right.
And so anyway, it's just remembering.
And you have children who are 4 and 5 right. and 6 years old.
They can't read.
They don't read well yet
not
at all.
Yet well.
But it's good for them to hear God's word being read
That's
publicly.
Right.
You can't convince us that there's not a reason to be reading public scripture in your worship service on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I don't know how anything else you could say or do would be more important than reading a public scripture. So work some way, look at ways to do reading the Old Testament and New Testament, as well as your sermon text, doing scripture between the worship service, between mm-hmm. the songs, and really let people realize we not only love the Bible, we love it so much, mm-hmm. we want to hear it when we gather together.
That's right.
It
That's
means
right.
that much to us.
Yep. It fuels
it's
our worship.
Important. It fuels
yep.
our worship.
Amen.
And remember, the book is Scripture Guided Worship by Joe Kreider. It's perfect. It'll give you all the information
Great
you need.
Book.
And hey, subscribe to our podcast if you would. Become a regular listener. We got some stuff coming up eventually. We're gonna actually have some mugs.
Yeah, hey,
we are.
Some swag's coming.
I know. It's gonna be so. I can just hear the people right now going, "We don't really care." But anyway, we care for you.
That's right.
We love you, our
That's
listeners.
Right. Amen.
All 9 of you. All
That's
right.
right.
So check us out at churchreplanters.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.